SBS Radio.
It is a huge privilege of me to be named alongside the likes of Ban Ki-moon. I've actually seen advertisements for the World Congress of Accountants, the conference, featuring only two speakers out of, 150 speakers over 4 days. And the two speakers have been myself and Ban Ki-moon. And I'm pinching myself and showing my mum and showing her, look, I think I've made it. It's a huge privilege to be alongside those kinds of people, for sure. And it's even more special to be, as an Indigenous Australian, as a Noongar woman, representing, what we can bring to the accounting industry. So what I'll be speaking about in my session will be around how accounting is more than calculators, how it's more than keeping numbers and finances. It's about how do we account for, things that are more than money? How do you account for happiness? How do you account for social change? And those things are a lot harder to measure. And the part that I'm interested in is how can accounting and financial empowerment generally through education, how can that help us as Indigenous people express our human rights? So I'll be taking it on a tack of human rights through financial education, and then also from the young person's perspective, what does accounting have to offer us? Because I think accounting has quite an image problem. When you think accountant, you think someone who's probably, pale male stale. The profession is changing, so it's all about how do we, especially as young people, how do we prepare for those changes of accounting, and how do we bring it into the 21st century?
Accounting is an area where Indigenous participation is extremely low. Last time I looked into it about 4 or 5 years ago, I looked at studies by Professor Luisa Lombardi. I looked at what CPA and chartered accountants are doing. There is a very low representation. In 2014-15, there were about 32 Indigenous accountants across Australia, both affiliated with the two accounting bodies, CPA and chartered accountants. What's the situation today, and why so little numbers in this field?
Yeah, so unfortunately it's not much better. So we're sitting around 39 Indigenous accountants in the country. So that is people that have self-identified and that CPA and CA, the accounting bodies, are aware of. So personally, I think there's a few more than that that we just haven't been able to find out who they are because they're not involved in that network. But the good news is that there's roughly around 40 or 50 current Indigenous accounting students, including myself, who are on the path to becoming qualified accountants. So we're hoping in the next probably 4 or 5 years, we can almost double the number.
Yeah, and that's a very good, because 40 or 50, that would be when they graduate in 2 or 3 years' time, would be more than 100% increase, which is a very, very welcome development when it happens. You're talking about accounting and human rights and culture. That's something that we don't usually relate to in accounting. It's so much more involved. Tell us about those other aspects, especially in an Indigenous context, how powerful accounting is for self-determination as well.
There's a lot to unpack from that question. Yeah. I will try my best. For me, accounting is basically financial education. So it's not only about balance sheets and other financial statements. It's about, do you know where your money is going? Do you know how to check where your money is going? Is it going where you think it goes? And so from my perspective, given that, we've got billions of dollars that get pumped into our communities, our businesses, our organisations by government or native title and, combination, and we haven't got enough Indigenous people in those roles who get to make the final call as to where that money goes. And so I think that if we have Indigenous CFOs or Chief Financial Officers, we can control where that money that is meant for us, we can make sure that it goes where it's meant to go. So that's where I like to focus on, is making sure that we're educated enough to be able to be in those positions of power to then determine where that money goes.
But when you look at the figures, when people think about accounting once again, why is it you find Indigenous doctors, Indigenous lawyers, but accounting is something that they're not interested in?
Yeah, I've got a few comments to that. So first of all, I think, as a human race, we are beginning to appreciate that, intelligence and literacy is not just about reading and writing and numbers.
Yeah.
So financial literacy, I think, is so important, and that's so overdue. I went to the UN this time last year, and it was a particular focus. It was the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous people.
Yeah.
And the focus for that particular session was on Indigenous business and financial services. So it's really heartening to see that people are finally, the message is becoming clearer, that we need to be in control of this stuff. But the reason I think it's so important and why we've got such low numbers of Indigenous accountants in Australia is largely to do with two things. The first one is that money as a concept can be seen as something negative in our communities.
Yes.
Because we associate money with greed, and you know, we have fair reason to make that association.
Yeah.
But from where I sit, it's, you know, it's the people who are in those positions of power that determine what money does.
Yeah.
You know, I think of our not-for-profits who work so damn hard in our communities,
yeah,
to achieve good things, and they're always fighting for funding. And I just think if we had more money in those kinds of places, we could really do really good in the world. So I think making the connection between having money and doing good for community are actually linked. It's,
yeah,
not a greedy thing to pursue, and that's one of the image problems that we have to think about.
Yeah.
And the other sort of more historical reason for our lack of, you know, accountants is to do with the stolen generations and the stolen wages.
Queensland, yeah.
Yeah, and all around Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, when our ancestors and family members went out to work during the stolen generations, their income was paid to government to manage on their behalf.
Yeah.
And so as a people, we haven't had that many generations to actually have an income to manage. So it's not our fault that we're not, you know, experienced in this. It's,
yes,
clearly as a result of policies. So I think over time, we will become more comfortable and we'll have more practice at managing our own finances.
Yeah. And there's one of the great leaders, Professor Mark Rose, you're saying that once they unlock this financial literacy or these low numbers of accountants. He was talking at an accountants conference a year or 2 years ago. Mm. I remember he said, this will unpack a sleeping giant.
Yes, awaken the sleeping giant.
Yes,
it was funny,
yes.
I was at the same conference. We should have met.
Yeah, and he made that comment and I felt that's really a very powerful statement.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. We've got so much power within ourselves to control our own destinies. We're just, you know, we're still figuring out the best ways to do that. And so, you know, where I sit, finance is really important to achieve that, because in this kind of community and this kind of economy, money is power. The more you've got, the more influence that you can have,
yeah,
over outcomes that you want to see. So that's certainly why I do what I do.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.